We're so glad that you've joined us today on the Relevant Church podcast. There's so much God wants to do in and through you as you listen to this message. If you want to learn more about Relevant Church, visit us online at thisisrelevant.cc.
I want to preach a message for the next 7 hours and 45 minutes entitled, The Cost of Dreaming. The cost of dreaming. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 37. And if you wouldn't mind, I actually gave Pastor Muta the wrong verse here. So I'm actually going to start in verse 13. I'm going to read these scriptures and then we're going to pray and then we're just going to get into it. Is that okay with you? And Israel, If you have not read any of the Old Testament, Israel's name was Jacob turned into Israel. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron when Joseph arrived at Shechem. A man found him wandering around in the fields. Can somebody say wandering? I want you to hold that thought in your mind. A man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I am looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come, now let us kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these moments that we have together. I pray that you would speak, Lord, that you would remove me out of the equation, Lord, that you would bring to light anything that needs to be spoken to your people this morning, that it would go past head knowledge into the heart and then flow into the hands and feet, and that we would walk it out. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Four stories. I love this idea, this sense that where you're going with the sermon. And I see this stage design, because I remember as a kid, me and my brothers loved to do stuff like this. We would set up a fort in the house. And then we would talk about dreams that we had. One day, I am going to become Michael Jordan. So you laughing at me. That's what they were laughing at me too, you know what I mean? But I got a little game. But guess what? I never became Michael Jordan. But that's the whole point, right? Like, there are these dreams that we have, some of them that are in reach and some of them that are far away. The year was 1896. Two brothers started working on a dream they had in their hearts of flying. Many had dreamed this dream before and attempted it and found success in a hot air balloon. But for those two brothers, their hearts were made up that they wanted to fly like the birds in the sky. They conducted an aerial experiments with kites and gliders, and in 1899, they built a model biplane, which they flew as a kite. In 1900, they made their first trip to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, for experimental flights. In 1901, they built a wind tunnel for the testing wind services. As you can see, obstacles in their way of these brothers' dreams were merely just opportunities to get closer to their dreams. In December of 1903, if we could put up that picture, after a series of failed attempts, you can guess it by now, the Wright brothers were finally successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled by the feat, they sent this telegraph to their sister. We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine, their sister, hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the telegram. He read it and said, "How nice! So the boys will be coming home for Christmas." Did you catch it? His lack of imagination toward their dream caused them to miss the biggest story broken in the world at that time. Here it is. It all started with the dreams. Dreams are inherent part of being a human being. And listen, in the ancient world, dreams meant a lot. And in fact, you used to have kings who would basically hire people to interpret dreams. It was one of the most important things that you could do in a kingdom because it meant the direction of the kingdom. Dreams were often filled with symbolism and necessitated interpretation. So here it is. We find Joseph in this story starting to dream. Let me give you a little context of the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph is really doesn't start with Joseph. It starts with Abraham. Abraham, God is moving Abraham, and he is developing something that will restore the whole world. He is building a covenant people for himself. And so from Abraham has a son. It takes some years. Go back and read the book. But he has a son. His name is Isaac. Isaac goes off into a different land. And Isaac finds this woman, this beautiful woman, so beautiful, the Bible says, that he didn't even say anything to her when he saw her. He just walks up and he kisses her and he raises his face up and he starts to weep. Come on, man. That's a beautiful woman right there. How did you meet? Jacob has this relationship with Rachel. Jacob has so much favor on Rachel's life that she is the favorite. We know that in antiquity, people had multiple wives, but for Jacob, it was his favorite wife. Rachel then dies and he has two children. One of them is Joseph. As Joseph's mother has died, it looks like Jacob's favor starts to move over to Joseph. And he gives him a gift. Does anybody know what the gift is? A coat. A coat of what? A coat of many colors. Can I drop the first little thought for you? Do you know that scholars actually believe that there was no coat of many colors? I just blew up you guys' Sunday school teaching. Somebody's calling the Sunday school teacher right now. I was like, what? It was just a coat. Here's the second thought. The coat was not just a gift, but it was a gift of favor, a gift of status. Basically, if I can put it in layman's words, when Jacob gives Joseph the coat, what he is saying is, Jacob, you are upper management, and your brothers are just regular employees. He's saying that you are first in line. It doesn't matter that you are one of the youngest. Everything I have is yours. And so in ancient antiquity, if you were given favor, that means everybody had to come to you as head of the household. You're responsible for everybody. Here's the only thing. Joseph is only 17 years old. He's got brothers which are in their 30s and 40s at this time. And Jacob is a young man. Here's a question I want to start off with. What is the dream or dreams God has placed in your heart? The dreams have ways that they can be make monumental shifts in your life that can change the trajectory of history. We spoke about the Wright brothers a second ago. Could they have ever thought back when in 1903 that in 2023, if you had enough money, that their flying machines will be the foundations that you could go into space? See, dreams have ways that can shift the trajectory or the course of history. You know of dreams, right? There was one such dreamer who had a dream many years ago who spoke at the Washington Memorial. It's a famous dream. It's even called the I have a what speech? Dream speech. Literally changed the trajectory of history. What is the dream that you have in your life? Here's a better question. How are you dreaming? Are you dreaming with God? Or are you dreaming by yourself, selfishly? See, dreaming with God means dreaming dreams that are beyond us. It means partnering with God in the expansion of his kingdom and allowing God to shape us to be who he wants us to be and who he has designed us to be. Dreaming selfishly, when I dream for myself, on the other hand, has a way of making it myself the focus of the dream. I am the most important person in the dream. So the gift that God has utilized and placed in my life, now I start using it for my own advantage. How are you dreaming this morning? Dreams are powerful tools that can be used to motivate us to reach the goals that are set in front of us, or they can be all-consuming, unachievable objects that remind us how far we are from reaching them. For Joseph, God had destined him to rule, but what we see in the text is that his character needed refining. It is okay to dream, but if your character is not refined, what will happen is you will become the center of the dream. Let's go back to verse 5. We're going to walk through the text here today. This is what the scripture says. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated on him more. He said, listen to this dreamer. He said, we were out in the field trying to get bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brother said, what you talking about, Joseph? That's the ESV, the Elijah Shemenda version. So you think you will be our king, do you? Look at this young punk talking out the side of his neck. It was the hood in that time. Do you actually think you will reign over us? They hated on him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon, Joseph had another dream, and again, he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have another dream, he said, and the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed low before me. This time, he told the dream to his father, as well as to his brothers. But the father scolded him. What kind of dream is that, he asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? See, now his dad is starting to feel, maybe I had given this boy too much favor. Maybe I had created a monster. Listen, I want the text to become three-dimensional for us here, right? Because sometimes we read it and we feel like it's all jolly. No, Joseph is saying problematic things in problematic ways. See, the dream had become self-centered. The dream had become about him, and he was not seeing that he is just part of what God is orchestrating here in the text. The second thing I want us to see as we continue going on this morning is that God's dreams are bigger than us. They are bigger than us. Here's a spoiler alert if you've never read the story. Joseph becomes the second most powerful person in the most powerful nation on the face of the planet at that time, Egypt. He is going to rescue not just himself, but the whole world. But the problem was his character was not ready for that moment yet. His character still needed refining. His character was still broken, and he thought it was all about himself. The question still stands. Is our character suitable for us to move in the way that God wants us to go? Or is our character broken? Are our desires ultimately about us or about the story of God? For Joseph, who was given everything without earning it, favoritism, love, status, Over his siblings, Joseph dares to dream out loud to his brothers because he more than likely thought it was because he deserved it. Here's the problem. Sometimes when God has put a dream in our lives, sometimes when God has given us gifts, we operate in a manner that we think we deserve it. I'm gonna push a little further. Because I'm a guest speaker. That's my brother. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I'm saying? I know he going to love me. He might not bring me back, but you know what I mean? I know he going to love me. So sometimes when our pastors are saying, hey, I want to develop the gift inside of you. I want to see you flourish. He's not talking about just the gift for yourself, right? He's talking about the God dream that can change a community, that can change a region. But what happens when we become selfish with that dream? So instead of coming to prayer and worship night, we're like, well, I'm going to stay at home. And what I've done is I have decided that the dream is about me. And it is not about God. Okay, listen, let me keep on going. I feel like it's getting hot up in here. In just a couple of verses, what we see is that Joseph tells his brothers a dream way too soon and doesn't discern it. Doesn't think about how can this be for others, not just for me. He has alienated them with his actions. And he has shown his immaturity in the way that he has handled the dream God has given him by arrogantly telling his family and everyone that he can see. Joseph's mode of operation at this point seems to be of someone who operates from a place of entitlement. It would seem as though Joseph is stuck on himself. By the time we get to the 12th verse, Joseph's brothers have gone to Shechem where their flocks, we see, are pasturing. And Joseph was not with his brothers. Here's the key part of the verse. I need you to see that, right? Why is Joseph not with his brothers? All of them have gone to Shechem. There is tension in this family. There is a brokenness in this family. Verse 14. His father says, go and see how your brothers and the flocks are getting along. Here's his translation. This is what Jacob, Israel, is trying to do at this point. He's saying, maybe I can mend relationships. Maybe, like, I have separated them for too long. So maybe I can fix this. I can fix this. Parents, you know, I can fix this. I'll make them play together. So I'm going to send him to them. They come back and bring me report. So Joseph was sent off, and he traveled to Shechem from their home to the valley of Hebron. When he arrived there, a man from the area noticed him wandering around the courtside. Here it is. I want you to catch this. Shechem. And where they're at from his home is about 57 miles. And remember, they're not in a car. And 57 miles from there in Hebron is about 14. So it would have taken Joseph 4 days to get there. Here's the context of this verse. I want you to catch that because this is going to be important. He sees a man. He says, I am looking for my brothers. Joseph replied, do you know where they are pasturing their sheep? Yes, the man told him. They have moved on from here. But I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and where they were. And when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance, and they approached him. They made plans to kill him. Here comes the dreamer. Come on. Let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns. We can tell our fathers a wild animal has eaten him. Then we will see what becomes of his dream. Here it is. Sometimes God will use seeds of loneliness and hardship to direct us to the dream he has for us. Sometimes God will use seeds of loneliness and hardship to direct us to the dream that he has for us. See, this young man who was accustomed to being favored, this young man who was accustomed to being loved, this young man who thought he had everything in his hands. Can you imagine him as he is walking up in this moment? Damn, my dad loves me. I'm the favorite. I don't even have to go with these fools. I'm going to go see what they're doing. And man, let me find out. Let me find out that this boy right here is not doing, he ain't watching them sheep. Boy, man, you know, listen, I don't know if y'all have siblings. This thing was real. It's the kind of rivalry that you know, when mom and dad around, you hugging each other. But after they gone, I'm going to need 5 minutes, bro. I'm going to need 5 minutes for me and you to handle this conversation. Like he is going up with this swagger in his hand here. And this is what I want you to see. As he is moving there, the Bible tells us this unique verse. It says that Joseph, as on his journey, starts to wander. Here's the problem. When we read this in the English, in whatever version you have, it does not give the sentiment of what is actually happening here in the verse. Okay, now I feel like preaching. I want you to see what is happening here in the text, right? When it says that that Joseph has been wandering, It is trying to communicate two things. One, he is geographically lost. But two, he is spiritually and soul is lost. That's what the verse is trying to say. And so what is happening as he is going on his journey, he has so lost himself from the original place where the dream that God has placed in his life, right? That he is not only missing where his brothers is going, he's missing on the direction that God wants to place him on. The Bible says he starts to wander. And he is moving more farther and farther away from what God has for him and how God will restore the whole world for himself. And the Bible says he arrives and he sees a man. We have to now, again, dig deep into the text, because this is what's happening. What we actually are seeing, some scholar says, it may be a theophany. It is a picture. That's just a theological word to basically say it is a picture, a type of picture of God. Somewhere on his wandering. Oh, I need y'all to preach with me this morning. Somewhere on his wandering, God shows up and he redirects him to the direction where he's supposed to go. See, I need three people that are going to preach with me this morning. That God might have put a dream in my life. That God might be shifting things in me. And when I start wondering, he will show up in moments where I feel broken, where I feel disgusted, where I am torn back. See, I need a God that won't just meet me at the beginning of the dream. I need a God that will redirect me when I start wandering from the dream. The Bible says that he is wandering here. And God starts to redirect him back into the dream. But watch this. As he is redirecting him back to the right place, he is not redirecting him back into sunshine and roses. He's not redirecting him back to flowers. We read this. What happens? He's redirecting him back into the teeth of what will be soon pain. Sometimes, in order for God to shift you back, He will take you through seasons of loneliness. See, the problem is because, man, we have bought into this Americanized ideal of that everything is supposed to go our way. And so when it doesn't, we feel like God has forsaken me. But what if the reason why you're in the season that you are right now is because God is trying to redirect you from your wandering so that you can come back to Him, so that you can live His dream for you, not the selfish dream that you have for yourself. Maybe you're in this season right now because God wants to do something in your life that's so much bigger than you can imagine. But you're being impatient. And He's shown up time and time again. He says, I need you to go this way. I know it's going to be painful. I know it's going to hurt. I know you're going to have to lose some people on the way. But I want to shape your character for the dream that I have for you. What does it look like? What does it look like to be still and know that God is at work? We know the end of the story. Is there a towel? Boy, I can't see. we know the end of the story. God is going to use Joseph in exponential ways to feed a group of people, a nation, not just Egypt, but his brothers who threw him in there. But God had to work on his character. And if I had time, we would talk about the many years that it took from that moment all the way to the end of the book. 14 chapters, years of his life being lied upon, having to learn how to manage things, all those different things in order to develop him to rise up to a position that he can save everyone. God had to develop his character in pain and loneliness. What is the dream that God has put on your life? Can I tell you something? Ministry has been tough. Ministry has been hard. If you're a pastor, I want to say this. Your pastors will never say this to you, but I feel the, thank you so much, sir. I feel the need to say to you this morning. If you're a pastor, these last couple of years, it has been the most loneliest job. Churches that were flourishing were literally split in two. COVID separated people. Where the church should have stood strong, people ran. But God put a dream in two people's hearts. And the cost of a dream is painful. I want you to know that you are living the cost of a dream. Do me a favor real quick. I want you to look around this room. Look around this room. Do you know that 16% of all worship gatherings look like this room, a multi-ethnic and diverse community? Listen, I didn't say 16% of church gatherings. I said 16% of all worship gatherings in the United States look like this room. You are living a dream. A dream where different political associations are here, different economic situations are here, different, like whatever it is, like you are living that God dream, but it is costly and people ran. People said it was too hard. God put a dream in your pastor's heart to say, what would it look like if we reached up to heaven and we pulled it down and heaven and earth looked alike? Every tribe, every tongue, every nation. That's costly. It's costly because our allegiance now goes to Jesus. It doesn't go to the donkey or the elephant. It goes to the lamb. it doesn't go to my preference, right? It doesn't go to, hey, maybe I don't like to shout. Maybe I'm a note taker. Praise be to God. Maybe I like to shout. It says, like, I'm going to fit in this room because they're a dream cause. But if we live out that dream and we do not wonder and we don't make it about ourselves, God will shape and shift this region and we will see lives change. That's what the cost of a dream looks like. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to live in that dream. It may be painful to get up, but to get in here to say, I want to serve, but to serve, to say, hey, I want to reach out and invite somebody who's far away from Jesus. I want to pray so that they can experience what God is doing in this community. But when we do it, we live out the dream that God has for us. It may be inconvenient, but God wants to do something here that can shape a region. What does it look like to live in and dream a dream that is beyond us? As we enter into this time of worship, I want to challenge us this morning and say, God, have I been wondering? I need you to show up. God, if I've been making it about myself, I need you to show up. God, I need you to do whatever you need to do to shape my character so that you can make seismic shifts, so that you can change the trajectory of where we are going, because it is about your kingdom and your glory. And you've invited me into that story. Come on, would you stand up with me?
Thank you again for joining us on the Relevant Church podcast. If this message has been impactful to you, let us know by sending an email to hello@thisisrelevant.cc. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by investing at giving.thisisrelevant.cc. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more messages like this one.